time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Yeah, oh, we're declaring our independence today. This is going to be one that you guys want to share and send. You know, I don't do this a lot. I want to encourage you all to get the archive for today and you share it with everybody because today is going to be the day. Where do I start? There is an effort to bring back a constitutional convention. And once you open it up, man, it gets ugly. They can do whatever they want. You've heard us talk about the Articles of Confederation and how the convention that was to do some little tinkering in Articles of Confederation, kind of weights and measures, you know, how we're going to trade money and so on and all that, you know, that we were going to go ahead and just tinker with a little bit and brought everybody in. Well, I think it was Delaware and Rhode Island, some others said, oh, heck no. They said, no, we're out of here. And they left. Because the people, Art Hamilton brought them together, you know, to do this thing. And what they really did, they went in secret and they went ahead and they created an entirely new document to centralize control with a superior tax and authority above the states. Well, it, like, almost caused another little revolution. And then the Bill of Rights and all this other stuff came in out of that. And it's just, it's happening again. So I'm going to share with you what's going on, and we need to know what's happening. Now, what the original plan was today, I have in studio Barry Hess. He's a Libertarian candidate for governor here, and just yesterday he did the editorial board with the Arizona Republic. And, of course, they write their thing and so on, and Barry was there too, kind of deal. But there's so much more going on, and I'm going to share what I know with Barry as he's here. And then, of course, we'll take time to talk about Barry's race and what's going on in light of this. Because I want to make sure right now, while it's hot, that you guys know what's going on. Because at the top of the second hour, we have Charles Key. He's a representative from Oklahoma, and he remembers a lot of this. It just so happened we had him scheduled. This is when we could get him on. We wanted to talk about Oklahoma City bombing, and there's a new documentary coming out, and he has some information on different things. But it was the Oklahoma City bombing that kind of put a stop to this call for a new constitutional convention back in 95. From 93 to 95, there was a big effort. Really, it started back in the early 70s during the Vietnam War protests, and the people were getting all rising up, and they go, man, we got to put the whoa, honkus on this thing. So I'm going to share with you what I know. What I think I know. I tell you what I know happened. I can tell you that. What happened here in Arizona. So get ready. Here we go. This is going to be interesting. On the front page of Freedom's Phoenix, about midway down, I'll go ahead and move it back up to the top because I can. I go push a button, push another button, boom, shakalaka, it's on top of the page now. Now, what this is proposed constitution for America. This is, you know, where do you start on this stuff? This is what we're going to do. I'm going to tell you what happened. In the early 90s, there was little communication between people. It was all done, just started doing fax trees. You had different organizations publish their own newspapers and so on. And we had started one a couple years before called Citizens Take an Initiative. And it was kind of the beginnings of, you know, Freedom's Phoenix. It was kind of like Freedom's Phoenix. We'd get all this information, and we'd have good philosophical articles from a libertarian perspective and things that were going on. And we all filed initiatives. We would have 36, 40 initiatives in a year. On the front page of the B section of the Arizona Republic, Valiant State, they would say, the second legislature convenes. And it was us filing all these initiatives the week before the legislative session started, the first week of January, after New Year's and Christmas and everything, because it was the second Monday in January when the legislative session started. So we knew everybody would be paying attention. About a third or more of the initiatives that we filed would be created as bills. Legislators go, cool, that's a popular idea, that's good, everybody's wanting what, I'll do that. Yeah, whatever. One of my friends, a guy named Manfred Alber, had been concerned by a lot of stuff he got out of the John Birch Society. Everybody goes, and Birchers are crazy conspiracy, crazy people. And everything, as years go by, everything that they said was true. I mean, it came to pass. I go, maybe they aren't as crazy as they say they are. So what happened was, one of the things was, they were warning. They're saying, we're only a few states short of calling for a constitutional convention, an Article 5 constitutional convention. It provides for in the Constitution that three quarters of the states call for a convention, or it's two-thirds. I think it's three-quarters. Calls for a convention. We'll look it up here. But they call for it. Then the convention is opened up. You got a new constitution convention. They do whatever the heck they want. Well, how do you get people to say, we want a constitutional convention? Well, you got to, you know, have some controversy going on. In the 70s, it was the Equal Rights Amendment for women. And if you don't love women enough, you know, to call for an Equal Rights Amendment, then you shouldn't be voted for, and you suck, and we're not going to support you, blah, blah, blah. Well, those of you that have listened to the interviews on Alex Jones with Aaron Russo, or you know Aaron, like Barry and I knew Aaron well, and Barry knew him better than I did. And the one thing that Aaron did, he was kind of called into the crowd, and it was David Rockefeller, right? David Rockefeller was befriended Aaron. He'd tell him all kinds of stuff. And he told him the deal was they wanted to get women in the workforce so that they could have latchkey kids. They could start to get their access to the next generation and kind of, you know, bring them into government schools and do the separation. Plus, they'd have women in the workforce making money and getting more taxes and blah, 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 blah. That became a big issue, and legislators didn't want to deal with it. So what they did is they kind of gave them an out. If you'll just call for a constitutional convention to add the Equal Rights Amendment, then we're done. And they go, all right, we, the state of fill in the blank, say we want a constitutional convention, and we'll deal with this one thing, the Equal Rights Amendment. Well, they got some states, not enough. So then the next issue was, oh, you know, we got to deal with this abortion issue. And if you love little children and everything, we're going to go ahead and we call for a constitutional convention on the abortion issue. Well, now they're a few states short. If you love America, we're going to call for a constitutional convention for a balanced budget amendment. Okay. This is during the Clinton administration, everything. Them damn Democrats, they spend too much money. All right. Well, we go, okay, this is of concern. At the time, the state of Florida and Nevada had pulled. They said, nah, we're pulling our call for a constitutional convention. Well, then the big controversy was guys in Washington, lobbyists and lawyers and all this kind of stuff. You can't pull your call. Well, Nevada did it in an interesting way. They said, we withdraw our call for a constitutional convention and expunge the record that we ever called for it. Washington goes, you can't do that. And they go, do what? We don't know what you're talking about. So what they did is it became a big controversy. And here in Arizona, we did that initiative. Now, there was a state senator. His name was Lester Pierce, Russell Pierce's cousin, I think. He's now a justice of the peace here. Because the John Birch Society and the Mormon community in the East Valley are all kind of intertwined, and they just went to him and say, hey, we want this Save the Constitution thing. Would you introduce this bill? Kind of, yeah, whatever. My support, you know, whatever. They just threw it in with a big giant lump of all the other stuff they do. They didn't know what the heck. He didn't care. All of a sudden, the beginning of the legislative session comes up, and they have the Judiciary Committee he was on. Here's the bill. The entire room is filled up. They're like, what the heck just happened? There was, at that time, in 92, during the Ross Perot thing, he was running for president and such, I had a lawsuit, 44 election laws, went all the way to the Ninth Circuit. I'm not an attorney. I was arguing. I'm going, man, I can see how they get away with all this stuff. They eliminate competition before it starts. The entire election law was all about Republicans and Democrats, the two major party system. They said in that legislation, late 70s, when they got Title 16 all changed, they did it in the name of America. Two-party system. You can't have a communist party in Arizona. So what'd they do? They took the two-party system and made it parties of the state. So they created communism. They just called it the two-party system. Well, this is where I started to see what was going on. And this bill got introduced and all hell broke loose. And I'm going to share with you what happened and how on the ground level here from the activists at the time. And now we're facing this again. Oh, you're going to want to hear this. We'll be right back.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
I want to break free.
And everybody else. That's all I want to do. You know, oh, that's Queen. You know, I just found out on Freedom's Phoenix today, Freddie Mercury is going to be played by Cohen, the guy that does Bruno and all that stuff. So they're going to make a movie about Freddie Mercury, the lead singer of Queen. That'd be interesting. Maybe I won't be able to play Queen anymore after that movie. So that's coming out. All right, let me go ahead and finish this up before we get to Barry. When the initiative was filed, it was kind of, it's popular. I got a bunch of my people want it and everything. So Russell Pierce's cousin filed it as a bill. And it got a big popular, oh my goodness, and everything. Everybody's freaking out. But there was another senator on the Judiciary Committee, which is supposed to make sure things are constitutional when it goes through, and that doesn't matter. They do what they want. So they, Bev Herman, she was, hated me. I mean, because all the election laws that I had challenged and so on, she was one of the lead senators and up against Ernie. But she's there because I made her look stupid a year or two before during the Perot thing, and then they had to change and whatever. And anyway, she had it out for me. So she goes, well, I know if Ernie's in support of it. She actually says this in the hearing. Well, if Ernie Hancock's in support of it, well, you know, then I'm inclined to be against it. You know, like, and I'm going, okay, game on, you know. Well, finally, it passes anyway. Then it goes to John Green, which was the president of the Senate at the time. Then it died. And everybody was like, what the heck? All these conspiracy. Keep in mind, this is 94, beginning of 94. They were like, or 93, 94, anyways, back then. And they go, what the heck just happened? You know, why did that, seriously? What's this about? So this was, got people looking deeper into it. And all of a sudden, the militia, patriot movement type people, constitutional, whatever guys, this is why it's always Arizona. Here comes the focus on Arizona. Janet Napolitano, you know, rise to fame on this one. Then she becomes U.S. assistant attorney under Clinton and Reno and all, you know, the Arizona IA. They're going to get some militias here and all this kind of stuff. I mean, it was just what the heck was going on? What happened was there's an organization called the American Legislative Exchange Council. And the bottom line, what these guys are, is they claim to be whatever, conservative, something, you know. And we need to put the woe on the spending of Clinton administration and so on. And we do not want to eliminate the possibility of a constitutional convention under the excuse and reason of a balanced budget amendment. Now, keep them Democrats under control. What was interesting to me at the time is the leader of that, the head of that at the time, it was a guy named Art Hamilton. Big, well-known South Phoenix black Democrat, kind of liberal, blah, blah, blah. And I remember Art. You know, he was a good enough guy. He was whatever, but he was definitely liberal. I mean, he checked off all the boxes. And I'm going, making this like a conservative thing and arts to have. Who the heck are we kidding? So I'm going, what, that right there just, I'm just, something weird's going on. So then I go, all right, let's go ahead and follow this through. I want to know why they were pocketing. They wouldn't say for weeks. It became a big activist thing. And I was county chairman of the Libertarian Party by that time. What happened was, is that all of a sudden they, you know, came out with the, well, it's a conservative thing. We need to keep Congress in check with the threat that there would be a constitutional amendment to balance the budget. Right. Okay. So people started going, what the heck? Well, keep in mind, Russell Pierce at that time, I think he was still with the Sheriff's Department. Right after that, he became head of the Motor Vehicle Department. In 1995 is when they passed deadbeat dad stuff, and they started doing this national database, you know, so you can see if you're a deadbeat dad kind of deal. It's always the name of the children, okay? So then he becomes a motor vehicle guy. Social Security number becomes your Arizona driver's license number. People freaked out. Okay, we won't do that. We'll have a different number, but it's linked. It says the same thing anyway. So we're going, man, there's something weird going on here. Then there was Prop 200, immigration thing. You have to have an ID that is vetted with the federal government to be in the database that you're a U.S. citizen. Then we get into now SB 1070. It's all linked. And it has been, so I don't think Lester Pierce knew what the heck he was doing. It was just a popular thing. He had people that wanted him to do it. It supported the Constitution. Yeah, what the heck, I'll put it up. None of this stuff gets through unless anybody wants it anyway. But it became a big deal and exposed a bunch of stuff. They went, whoa, 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 freaking whoa. Well, then, you know, here comes Russell. And I'm like, what's the link here? I don't know. We're going to find out, though. So I go, all right. What was it they had in place? Rockefeller Foundation, at the time in the early 70s, they had totally created the New States of America Constitution. The New States of America Constitution, and it was, I'll read to you what the, you know, kind of the you shall do thing. And we put this on Freedom's Phoenix. You go there right now, and you'll see the link to this. The President of the Senate, Nelson Rockefeller, and the Speaker of the House of Representatives, Carl Alberts at the time, shall make all necessary arrangements for the convening of the convention. This was part of it, to enact this other thing that they wanted to do to get control on the people's kind of deal, was this New States of America Constitution. This is by the President of the United States Senate. You know, I'm not making this stuff up. All your secret handshake people involved in this thing. Okay. Now, if you go into it in articles, and I give you an example, instead of having, you know, the Bill of Rights or rights, they called them rights and responsibilities. It became privileges. Section 1, freedom of expression, of communication, of movement, of assembly, or a petition shall not be abridged except in a declared emergency. But we've always been in a declared emergency. I mean, do I need to even go any further? So this is, so I put it up here with links to it and all this kind of stuff. But what do we see now? On the popularity of SB 1070, this national database thing going on, which is what this thing is about, you have Russell Pearson friends, and you know it's going to be the Fox News, and everybody's going to be playing on this one. They are going around the country with the same legislators that are doing this SB 1070 thing, calling for a balanced budget convention to open up the United States Convention, I mean, of the Constitution, and they are, we in trouble. So then you go look at the top of Freedom's Phoenix, and you start going, okay, well, let's start doing some research on this. Who's behind this thing? Who's doing this? Well, the Goldwater Institute is coming in today to defend this. I've already been through this with these guys, okay? I'm going, oh, heck no. It's called restoringfreedom.org. You go to restoringfreedom.org, and there she blows, all right? And what does it say? It says, here, let me get this to pull up. Come on, open up. You know you want to. Well, anyway, they are restoring. Yeah, here we go. Who we are. Restoringfreedom.org is a Texas nonprofit corporation formed in 2009. Its purpose to provide a vehicle to develop and promote solutions to restore America's freedoms and prosperity, blah, 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 of which one of those is what? To call a national constitutional convention in the name of a balanced budget thing. I've been through this before. Okay? So I'm going, okay, here we go. Please join us in helping to solve our federal debt crisis. This is what they're advocating. This is what they want to do. It's a constitutional convention. And Russell, my best friend Pierce, is behind this thing. And we're going to be having us some fun with this. So today, we're going to have the Goldwater Institute is going to come in, and they're going to tell me how it is they can open up the Constitution with a convention and it not be open to every abuse that exactly what happened with the Articles of Confederation. You see what I mean? You see what I mean? Bring the music down. You see what I mean? This is what's coming, and we're going to talk about it today. We'll be right back. Too hot.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Turn on the tube. What do I see? A whole lot of people crying. Don't blame me. They point the crooked little fingers at everybody else. Spend all the time feeling sorry for themselves. Victim of this, victim of that. Your mama's too thin and your daddy's too fat. Get over it.
Yeah, get over it. Here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, in studio. Barry Hess, get to him in just a second here. Amending the Constitution by Convention, a complete view of the Founders' Plan. Executive summary by Nick Dranius, which is coming in today from the Goldwater Institute. We're going to find out. You know, I'm going to get, you know, so when this happens and it goes runaway, you know, you said that once, gosh darn it, well, they cheated or something. What are you going to say? I'm going to be a butthead about this. You know me, man. I'm not a big fan. They don't pay attention to the Constitution now. Everything's constitutional. They do whatever the heck they want, and the judiciary says, yep, constitutional. So, but now we're going to, you know, strip the veneer of what we got. This is what it says. Under Article 5 of the U.S. Constitution, the states have the power to apply to Congress to hold a convention for the purpose of proposing constitutional amendments. This power is meant to provide a fail-safe mechanism to control the federal government. Right. Of course, abuses of the Article 5 constitutional amendment process are possible, but that possibility must be viewed against a clear and present danger to individual rights and freedom of doing nothing. They're going to make you feared that the possibility of a runaway constitution, that they don't pay attention to anyway, is overwhelmed by the evil that's being done now. We got to have it, and just because we might be able to do something about it. I'm telling you, man, and it's going to, you haven't even started hearing about this yet. I already know what's coming. I know. Oh, I go, what is today anyway? It's the 17th of September, Friday, 2010. Ernest Theodore Hancock III is coming out saying, let me tell you what's going to happen. You're going to see it on Fox News, Politico. It's going to be Drudge. It's going to be Goldwater Institute and other freedom organizations. It's the Republican Party, GOP, Russell Pearson, SB 107. Save America people are going to say, the only way to save America, we need a new constitutional convention, and then we are screwed. I said it. Here we go. You know, somebody wants to play. Oh, Nick wants to play from Goldwater Institute. He has no idea what he's walking into. He talked to me and he goes, Ernie, he goes, you have no idea. The people behind, oh, it's a big coal. Oh, it's huge. It's humongous. I go, you know what, Nick? Not a doubt in my mind. Of course there is. You know, of course there is. You know, and that's why we have, you know, the libertarians going out there giving them what for, just for, you know, because nobody else will. I go, you know, someone, when I ran for Secretary of State, you know, I go, look, if you're still voting, which I wasn't, I'm going, if you still hold some hope in the voting thing, I go ahead. You know, vote libertarian, because we'll save America because no one else will. You tell me who will. You know, I give this speech Wednesday at the Economic Discussion Group. Yesterday, the leader of that called me. And I don't give his name, but his initials are Roy Miller. But anyway, so he calls me and he says, Ernie, do you really see a conspiracy in everything? I go, look at the lineage, the links. I'm going, are you kidding me? Because he knew this was coming. And I had talked about it and mentioned it. I'm going, you know, there's a Constitutional Convention thing. I can feel this coming. I'm getting little, you know, feelers and birdies telling me, here it comes. And the more I looked into it, I'm he's a big Goldwater guy. So they go, well, Ernie, do you really think that they're doing this as a malicious effort? I'm going, yes, I do. Until somebody shows, you know, and what am I going to get? Pleasure in saying I told you so later? I go, well, I told you so. I'm supposed to feel good about that? Heck, man, I'm ready to go find me a Caribbean beach. You know, I'm like, you know, man, is it time? Well, Barry's, doing battle with the bad boys, and, you know, they have this clean election thing. Tell me, Barry. I mean, you didn't do it.
No.
Okay. And the first time you ran for governor, you qualified for it, but you wouldn't turn in the paperwork to get your $1 million, and they were mad.
Well, they were really mad. What happened, actually, was we qualified for it. They knew we could because my intent was, to burn the check on the Capitol steps, and I was stupid. I put it out on a discuss list that obviously was monitored, and very quickly they went through legislation making it an electronic transfer only. That's what it is today. So yeah, I didn't get my show of publicity.
But they went after you.
Oh, they knew.
You know, they were like, "Oh, you dang libertarians, man!" Because we were like, you know, no, we don't trust the system anyway. So we're not. We sure as heck aren't going to rip off the taxpayer. Yeah. You know. So what happened was this. This, it goes through this clean election thing, which is, it's always opposite whatever the government says it is anyway. So this dirty election thing, they have your competition, the Democrat, which is the Attorney General,
right,
and Jan Brewer, which was Secretary of State. I ran against her in 06, man. I will, without. Anyway, so they're up there representing Republicans and Democrats. Each of them get how much in this election process?
So far, $1.7 million for 1 hour on TV. Man, that's movie star pay.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. Okay, what do we get for this clean election thing? One debate.
One.
One televised debate. I'm going, taxpayers paid millions of dollars for one televised debate? I mean, why have any? I mean, you know, the next main thing is you go to the Arizona Republic editorial board, which we've done many times. Mm-hmm. We go in there and slap them around and heck, I don't even yell at. I was running against McCain and they asked me a question. He go, well, what do you think of McCain's blah, blah, blah? You want to get some controversy going? I go, are you kidding me? McCain's the man. I go, John, you the freaking man. We're at war with two countries. They had the economy doing. I gave a long laundry list of what was coming because I knew it was coming. And I get blah, 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 blah. And I go, you haven't even addressed the constituents once until now. You came to the editorial board after they already started early voting. I go, you the man. And I turned to like 30 or dozens of people in there. They wanted to see the show, you know. They're in there. They had reporters from Washington. They brought in all their photographers. Everybody's there in a big conference room. And I go, but you, all of you suck. You think I blame him for what's happened? You're the ones that let this happen. He is not being held accountable. Why? Because you know he's going to be running for president. Yeah, well, we all knew.
And I was there, and I'll vouch for it, because I know that you very passionately, one of the best political speeches I'd ever heard from anybody.
Well, that was in Tucson.
Yeah, that was amazing. Because McCain just sat there and took it, and you said the same thing. I was very impressed, because the emotion was there, the proper thought was there, and it was the issue at that time was, are my children going to be drafted? That was the big issue.
Yeah, I have no respect for these people and what they do, and they know it. And I have good reason. I can articulate it, so they don't want to play.
But we're seeing it again.
Well, I want to talk about your editorial board. You go in. Mm-hmm. How many reporters and stuff are there?
There are probably 12 to 15 reporters. They're all editors, and the three of us.
So you go in, you sit down. How long did it go?
It was about an hour and a half.
So in an hour and a half. Now, of course, Terry, the Democrat, he loves you.
Oh, yes.
No, he needs a Libertarian in there. You know, they believe that it pulls from votes from the Republican. Well, then the Republicans, you know, not to be outdone, the Green Party has ballot status here.
Right.
Well, the way Arizona law is a percentage of your voter registration. And once you get on, you can get on it. You can do a write-in campaign in the primary. Vote for yourself. One vote. You got the most vote for your party, boom, you're on the general election. Well, libertarians, we do this for years. We've always done this kind of thing. But a lot of times we get on the ballot in the primary, so we have some fun. So the Green Party, well, the Republicans got a bunch of homeless people or something run as Green Party just to be on the ballot to pull from the Democrats. So they're going, oh, no, you can't. They're going, yeah, we'll change the law then. You know what I mean? Just, oh, these guys are amazing. So what was the big discussion? What was the big debate for the editorial board? What was the number one thing that was discussed?
Well, the number one thing was it came down to the budget, which Jan has not talked about at all, in the $700 million that comes due this month. And it amounts to a $1.2 billion overage that we are way over budget. There's not even a question, and Terry was calling on Jan on it. But the funny thing is Jan, despite the facts, she keeps saying, I balanced the budget. Now, the truth is, obviously, you can't balance a budget by hiding, and she hid $70 million in new property taxes in it. You can't balance a budget by saying we're just going to get more revenue. That's not how this game is played. What it infers is that you lowered the budget or the expenditures to meet what we've got in the fund, and it just simply isn't there. But she kept insisting she balanced it, and it consisted a lot of it of Terry saying, no, you didn't, and she said, yes, I did, and no, you didn't, yes,
well,
I did.
Well, you know, one thing is, he's Attorney General, so right. Sue.
Exactly, and that's what Jan falls back on. But she's like such a moving target because words flow from her lips that are completely adverse to facts. I don't want to call her a liar, but there's definitely that cognitive dissonance you've talked about. She doesn't seem to get it.
No, she just repeats what she's told. I've known her for a long time, and I'm just almost feel sorry for her.
Well, that's what happened with that long, thoughtless pause that became the lead story of our debate. The reason she did is because I saw her note. She was going to stick to 1070. That is literally the only issue she's got. And then when I got to go first, and I said 1070, can't be the focus. There are all these human issues that are more important. She knew if she stuck with the original, she'd be saying all those human interests were less important than 1070. That's why she got stuck between a rock and a hard place.
Man, she went silent for a long time. It was an uncomfortable pause. Now, we'll be right back. You know, we're building up to Charles Key at top of the hour, and then Nick Dranius from the Goldwater Institute in just a little bit.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
As I'm getting into demos, oh, they want to do battle. You know, and I had a conversation with Roy last night. He's in with all these guys, and he just said, but Ernie, don't you think? No, I do not think what you want me to think. Okay? I mean, we're going to get it all. I'm going to come out all in the open. While I'm talking to him, I'm remembering all this stuff that happened the last time they tried this, and they start searching, and I'm pulling links over, and I'm building. We're talking for 20 minutes or so, and I'm building this article, this site that I put up, and everything. I keep adding to it, and I go, boom, it's on the front page right there. Go look at it. You want me to say that it was inspired by you, Roy? Do you? Huh? Do you? No.
You know, the irony of all this is that it ends up being the same people who are creating the problems that are being complained about and that need to be changed. They're the ones who want to be in charge of the rewrite. This is incredible to me that people would even begin to think about.
You know, that's a good way of putting it. I mean, the very people that have been doing this want you to give them complete authority to totally rewrite the Constitution. I find that insulting to my intelligence.
Absolutely. And what the people have to understand is when you have a constitutional convention, Everything is on the table. It's, you can't go in and say, well, we're just going to change this little part and isolate it and protect everything else. No, no. This is a complete rewrite, and America goes away.
No, they even admit this. Of course, abuses of Article 5 constitutional amendment process are possible, but that possibility must be viewed against a clear and present danger to individual rights and freedom of doing nothing. And I'm going, doing nothing? You know, you're already doing nothing. You already got the Bill of Rights. You already got the Constitution. If you just went back to that, you lying sacks of snot. I'm going, so I'm shocked if Nick comes in. I will be freaking shocked.
Well, and the most telling part was in the sentence that you read, where there's talking about except in an emergency. Oh my God. Come on now.
Oh, no. They're not even going to bring up this other, this Rockefeller attempt and new state's Constitution thing. They're going to go, what? We don't even know what you're talking about. See, a lot of these people, you know, I'm getting older. You know, I'm 49 years old. Heck, I started this in my 20s. So these people that I deal with, they're, a lot of times they're coming out of Cato and they're coming out of, you know, the AI or they, I, you know, all these different alphabet soups in Washington, lobby, de la, whatever. And they come in and they're, you know, they got their law degree and everything and they're all conservative. And we went to this George Mason University or we went and we learned, we know Austrian economics and we're kind of, you know, we're libertarians. Libertarian. They always say, go war institute. It's libertarian. I go, yeah, no, it's not. Okay. No, it's how many times? You know, remember the last time that we really had anything to do with the Goldwater Institute? We used to market for their different events that they had. We would do banner ads on Freedom's Phoenix, and then we'd go, you know, in exchange, we'd get like, you know, press credentials and so on. We'd go there. Then we'd write a summary on what happened. Yeah, woohoo, and all that kind of stuff. Well, we went and they had the Mark Laffer, you know, the Laffer curve, you know, well, Laffer was the one that was, I'll bet you a penny that it won't go down and you're crazy, Peter Schiff. Okay? Well, Peter Schiff's like, hey, did you ever get your penny? I mean, you know, cause man, you just slapped him upside the head. Well, what happened was he came and spoke and he was blah, 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 blah. And the bottom line is this. If you take zero taxes, no percent, no tax, how much revenue do you get for the government? Zero. Assuming that I care how much the government gets, but, you know, zero. If you have 100% tax, how much tax do you collect for the government?
Zero.
Probably zero, because nobody's going to be doing anything.
Exactly.
Okay? So he's saying that there is a way to maximize the revenue for the government. If you have a small tax on everything, every level, every transaction, every everything, then you can get, you know, a maximum revenue for the government. And I'm thinking, this guy's like, you know, supposed to be a good guy. You know, what's he wanting to do? He's wanting to maximize revenue to the government. So I asked him, I said, I'm just, you know, a publisher of Freedom's Phoenix. I'm in big crowd, 700 people or something. And I go, I just want to know, why do you want to maximize revenue for the government as opposed to letting the people keep it? And he goes, well, so we can spend it, dummy. I mean, you know, that was the whole point. It wasn't about freedom. It was about getting the most money for the government. And he's a conservative.
Well, it's the perspective. And their perspective is always protect government, protect the administration. You've got to cover its costs that it has incurred. It never seems to occur to them that you should lessen government and lessen the expense of it. It's alien thought to them. So I'm so grateful that you're here and that so many libertarians are here in professing what is obviously the truth when you're talking about in reference to individual liberty, which is the whole point of having a government in the first place.
You know, in your race, what's happened is it's so stark, the difference between your campaign and the other guys, that even the lamestream media, the media so last century, they have to acknowledge that fact. They go, well, you know, yeah, Barry, he does a good job and he makes good points and all, and he's right and he's better and everything. But, you know, we gotta, it's gonna be one of these two people is gonna be the, and I'm going, you know, what's happened though is that the lowest percentage, I think, ever comes out in this last primary. Even though it's easy to vote by mail and early and all this other crap, people are abandoning the process. They know better.
It just doesn't mean as much anymore. And Jan Brewer, when she was Secretary of State, wanted me on the HAVA, the Help Americans Vote Act, going to electronic voting deal. She just wanted a libertarian to legitimize it, and I knew I was being played. But after 6 months of going through all this stuff with all the fine, upstanding citizens of Arizona, like Jerry Colangelo and several people, that caliber of people and Calvin Good and some of these people who are known, I've got to be the only person out of 50 committees of about 20 people each to stand up and vote against implementing
it. The only person in the entire country to vote no.
And I had it like at least three of them came up to me after I gave my little speech as to why, who came up and said, damn, I wish you had gone first because I would have joined you.
It's just they just want the rubber stamp.
That's all it was.
And they wanted to have liberty. And we talked about this. And I warned you, man. I'm telling man, don't because I can see what they wanted from the beginning.
Yeah.
And you're more like you want to play with the peoples and be nice.
Hey,
and
I'll dance close to the fire.
Yeah. You know. Well, you do that and got pictures too. That's one thing. Bear man, he doesn't do anything to anybody without getting a picture. So he's got hundreds, thousands of pictures of him with all these guys. But it's just amazing. There, he makes them smile. And they like Barry and everything. And then he gets that one-line zinger, and they're like, damn it.
Oh, absolutely.
This is I am very, very concerned what's going on. This is are you thinking that you may be running again in the future? Is this it? Or you see any reason? Does the political process hold any hope?
I have lost so much faith in it that I don't know. But if the situation, I can't say never. I'll never say never, only because I don't know what the future will hold. And if there's an opportunity to get in there and really kill the system from the inside, I may be tempted to take it. But right now, I'm thinking not.
We're bringing it home. You know, we've done a lot of state stuff and local and legislative and statewide and federal. I've run for Congress three times, U.S. Senate and all that kind of stuff. And, I'm starting to think, and we had the national thing with the Lovolution and so on, but I'm starting to think bringing it back home, you know, get back to, you know, city councils and this kind of stuff, because this is where it's going to be at, because they're starting to take this big agenda, whatever it is that they're wanting to do planetary, and they're going at the local level with this thing. And they are, because I remember during this Constitutional Convention deal, there was a sister effort going along with it. It was called regional government or something like that. Every single county, they wanted to have a new level of government at the county level, to where they weren't just political subdivisions of the state anymore. They were their own level of government. And that was the interface that they were going to do with this, you know, global whatever the heck it was. And I'm going, whoa. And it was a proposition measure that was on the ballot, and it lost 49-51. And we had printed up in our old AB Dick 360 back there a whole bunch of flyers out in what was going on that was given to us by somebody else, or some John Birch guy or something. He goes, here, you just print this, I'll distribute them. So we print it. What the heck, we don't care, you know, do it, knock yourself out. And then it had an impact, because what they were saying was, is that all of these associations of police chiefs and city attorneys and county clerks and all this other stuff, they all came out of the same building in Chicago.
All of them.
And I'm going, what? You know, we're starting to look at this. We are being invaded, and they're screaming about immigrants. I'm going, heck, they're the most, compared to you, certainly, they're the more honest ones.
Absolutely.
So I'm going, you know, this is getting really bad, and I'm starting to get a bad feeling on this. And if you want to know, all of a sudden, Ernie went away and something happened, and we got the nice little SWAT team and De La lawsuit come and get Ernie kind of thing, this is the issue, because we were very instrumental in the mid-90s on stopping this back then, and they freaked. So now what are we going to do? I don't know. The only thing I can do is what I always do. Share everything I know with everybody I know, and then we'll just see what happens. Well, we got Charles Key coming in. We'll keep Barry around for a little bit, because I talked over at his little spot here, you know, but we'll get him back, you know. But I'll go ahead and keep Barry here a little bit for Charles Key, because he knows a lot of this stuff, too. I'll be asking him about it, because I remember it was the Oklahoma City bombing during that time that everything went kind of, you know, we can get a lot of this stuff passed through the Congress now that we have this bombing thing. And that's where the crime bill came and the terrorist stuff and all this other crap that they wanted. Didn't need a Constitutional Convention. We'll see what happens. I see this. I see crystal ball. Crystal ball. And you know what? I can wait and see if I'm proven right. You heard it here first. We'll be right back.